The Magic Gadget IRL. 30 years ago, in 1996, some people were learning to use email, home computers, and the embryonic World Wide Web. But most families still shopped in the high street, looked up numbers in the phone book, and watched terrestrial telly together in the sitting room. Kids who wanted alternative amusement ended up hanging out with mates on park benches or outside supermarkets in the winter cold. Gay teens had no local community of peers to turn to, neither did those with hobbies or growing pain problems. For them, the world in real life, IRL, was limited and limiting. But IRL, there was also no FOMO, no sexting, no doxing, no doom-scrolling, no cyber-stalking or cyber-bullying, no revenge porn or nudifying of classmates, and no pro-suicide chat rooms. Smartphones and social media have revolutionised the childhood experience, and not necessarily in a good way, as BBC Radio 4 reported on the 7th of December, quote, "Alongside the widespread adoption of smartphones has come a tidal wave of adolescent anxiety, depression, loneliness, and a spike in suicides," end quote. Now Australia has banned access to 10 of the biggest social media sites for under-16s. Communications Minister Annika Wells explains it this way, quote, "Teenage addiction was not a bug. It was a design feature, and on 10th of December, there are going to be withdrawal symptoms. With one law, we can protect Generation Alpha from being sucked into purgatory by predatory algorithms described by the men who created the feature as behavioural cocaine." End quote. Many countries now ban phone use in schools. Australia started doing this back in 2020, with support from teachers and parents alike. All claimed a degree of success. But the bans were not well coordinated, and subjective reports of greater engagement and improved mental health may be the placebo effect at work. A Birmingham University study looking at 1,227 students in 30 secondary schools found no evidence of changes in grades, amounts of sleep, class behaviour, or even time spent on phones. Australia's latest action, with popular support, could trigger a global cascade of similar legislation. Social media firms already face a landmark US trial this month. China, with basilisk totalitarian vigilance, uses spyware to restrict social media use and game playing by its youth, with a 40-minute daily limit for social media and 3 hours gaming per week. The UK 2023 Online Safety Act instead demands that social media companies take reasonable steps to protect children. Well, good luck with that. Social media lawyers will have a field day. It's not just teens. Ofcom estimates that 1 in 4 UK children aged between 5 and 7 have a smartphone. Parents say they buy these phones for safety reasons, to do with the child being contactable and trackable. But satellite tracking a 5-year-old is not the way to keep them safe. In truth, overworked adults managing multiple jobs and kids may well find the magic gadget of infinite games and videos hard to resist, given that it shuts their child up like nothing else, and besides, if all the other kids have one, their child runs the risk of being victimised for looking poor. Radio 4 interviewees speculate that the Australian ban could be a useful research opportunity. But that's if it works, and it probably won't. one 13-year-old got around the ban in less than 5 minutes. And if one kid can do it, they all will, because of peer pressure, and because the industry wants to lock them in, not out, and because it will regard regulatory fines as the paltry cost of doing business. The new Online Safety Act age verification rules for porn sites are also probably doomed. There's been a huge increase in downloads of VPN apps which hide the user's IP address. With a conservatively estimated 240,000 online porn sites, Ofcom regulators face an uphill struggle to ensure compliance. So far, they've taken action against just 70, leading insiders to argue that the new rules are effectively unenforceable. And then there's the law of unintended consequences, which produced this generational mental health crisis in the first place. Regulating the top social media sites might end up funneling users to even worse places, like regulation-exempt gaming chat rooms, notorious as extremist rabbit holes. But, one might argue, why pussyfoot around imploring social media firms to take responsibility? Why not just ban smartphones for kids altogether? The UK's Education Select Committee last year recommended exactly that. But capitalist governments have bigger things to worry about, and unlike China, are generally leery of voter blowback for nanny statism. Even so, some young self-styled neo-Luddites are opting to downsize to dumb phones that have no social media, with a view to clawing back their free time. As one manufacturer puts it, social media entrepreneurs are obsessed with monopolizing their users' engagement time, whereas users should be saying, "What about me? What about my time?" He continues, "The problem is not the device, it's the business model, the attention economy. Every free app, every social media platform, every browser is trying to maximize engagement so they can make money collecting data and categorizing people into different groups so they can sell it to advertisers. Unfortunately for neo-Luddites, dumb phones offer a near-zero margin. So tech firms have little incentive to cater to dumb phone users whose revenue potential is relatively minuscule. That is, if they can even make the economics of manufacturing the devices work at all." It's a tragic indictment of capitalism that social media started by connecting people and is now arguably complicit in global disinformation and child abuse. Now, encouraged by Trump, social media firms are even ditching their fact-checkers. Perhaps Generation Z parents, having seen the damage for themselves, will refuse to allow their Generation Alpha kids to go through it. The bigger long-term tragedy for Generation Alpha, whether they're on social media or not, is that their future IRL will be one of relentless capitalist exploitation and wage slavery. If we really want to stop not just child abuse, but human abuse, abolishing capitalism, IRL, is the only way.
You have been listening to World Socialist Radio, produced by the Socialist Party of Great Britain. If you would like to find out more, you can visit our website, spgb.net.